Hi, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So I am looking for... Let's see. We had gotten an email right after...
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right, so that's what I'm looking for. Here we go. Okay, so there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack, and I have to say to the sender of this who... is identifying herself as P. Connor. You gave birth dates for 1, 2, 3, 4 people. That's really too much for the intent and purpose of the show. So I think if we just work with her birthday, the person who sent this, we can do some broad strokes. If you are interested, since you have all these birth dates going on, I would think that you would be more prone to wanting a reading with a private reading with Elisa. Then you can send such request to loablend@gmail.com, and I will make sure that Elisa gets in contact with you. So her birthday, so we're just going to deal with her birthday, just the month and the date, not even the year, okay? Is 5/20, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read you the email. And I really appreciate her kind words about the show. She says, "I am so grateful for having found your show. I called earlier today to see if I could speak with you, but the show ended. I will definitely listen again next Tuesday, which is today, but I wanted to see if you may have some insight on what has been going on. Our family has been having difficulties over the past almost 3 years. Oh, that's very interesting. Okay. Loss, concerns for son, tons of stress, etc. I've been trying to learn as much as I can to meditate, connect to spirit, letting go, being grateful, etc. I seem to be getting more and more intuitive feelings, signs, but the constant worry is overwhelming. Do you have any insight / connection coming through for me? Any advice for me?" And then she lists all the birthdays. She goes, "I'll give you birthdays of all in the family if that will help." Well, we're just going to have yours. If you want to dig deeper, send an email and Elisa will get in touch with you. If you need more information or anything, please let me know. Or if I should just wait and try to connect during the next show, I will try to get through again. I appreciate what you do for people. Thank you. Oh, her name is Polly. Polly. So you have her birthday, which is 5/20. So before I turn it over to you, what I will say is this, for those that are incredibly highly sensitive, highly intuitive, this would describe so many people the last 3 years, almost 3 years. And it's interesting because, Elisa, you and I spoke offline, and something that you had said that we had talked about really makes a profound sense, and I think that it applies universally. And the point that we were talking about, Polly, was that right now it's almost things are accelerating so that we can kind of assess and sort out. We're decluttering psychically what works, what doesn't work, what doesn't serve us, what we can give away, what we can discard, what can we share with others. You follow what I'm saying? So it's almost like the clutter principle that we are decluttering energetically, spiritually, and psychically. So things are sped up for you to really assess your inventory of what's going on energetically. So the reason why you talk about the constant worry being overwhelming, is because that is serving a purpose. And that constant worrying serving a purpose, that it's a barrier, it's a wall between you and really surrendering to spirit and to surrendering to the deepest, most profound parts of yourself, and that's surrendering, letting go, and trusting. So as long as the constant worry is there, it serves a purpose, because once you let go of that worry and you breathe through it, then you're truly surrendering to higher good. So one tip that I've shared on this show many times, and I share privately with clients, and I'll share it with you, is 10 minutes at a time. It's what homeless people do. How do I get through, and I shared this with you the other day, Lisa, how do I get through this next 10 minutes? Well, you got through it. And the following. That is the most basic way to face, in a very gentle way, but a very powerful way, the constant worry. So, and if you switch the kind of list of the things, meditation, connecting spirit, letting go, being grateful, etc., like that's wonderful that that's there. These aren't things for you to try to learn. These are things for you to explore. So if we get rid of the word trying and learn, and we switch that into exploration, there's less pressure. And I seem to be getting more and more intuitive feelings. No, you are getting more and more. But trust it. You're not fully trusting it. And what will come to pass will be a reflection of the degree of your surrender or not. And it's very difficult, because this is a time of a lot of regression, a lot of reversion is taking place only to propel us further. I kind of feel that's what's happening in our political climate, not that I want to get into that, but it's almost like we have to really look and face where we've been, where we are, so we can move past that. And that's really my insight from this email. And I'm going to just pass this over to Elisa and see if anything comes in the meantime.
I definitely like everything you've been saying, because I know people who have that same birthday, or like maybe the day before, especially. and it's that particular period of time, that time of the year, the 5/19/5/20, is those birth dates tend to be more on the mental side, in terms of always in their heads. There's just a lot that they'll take in, and then add to that sensitivity, being highly sensitive or empathic, and then being female and a mother and wanting to take care of a family. So there's already a dynamic there that leads. It doesn't surprise me that that she listed like all the other family members and their birth dates. Like, oh, and these are all the people, you know. So being able to take it, like you said, like a small bit of, you know, a small chunk of time, at each go, that helps to break it down a little bit, and just to make it more manageable. So I do think that that's going to be very helpful, and especially what you said, it's not about trying, it is exploring, and there is a lot of freedom in exploration. Versus I got to learn, I got to try to do
right.
This, I gotta, you know, there's a lot of freedom in exploring, because like Liz said, you know, she's already doing, these things are already there. Like there are already gifts there in terms of being in tune and intuitive, knowing that there are things that will get done. It'll happen whether you put your finger in there or not. It's like things are going to happen. Things are already in motion. So how you take care of yourself is also going to have an effect on your family, because chances are they look to you for a lot of things. They look to you know, I would say the mother tends to set the tone a lot in the household, whether they realize it or not. You know, that saying, if mommy ain't happy, nobody happy. So, so doing something to help you is going to help everybody else. And I think that's a very impactful way of saying that, because it's almost second nature to want to protect and take care of everybody else and make sure everyone's okay at your own detriment. You know, realizing, oh, I'm so tired, and you can't problem solve for everybody, at least effectively, without it affecting you as well. And when you're frazzled, or if you're just, you know, if you have a lot on your mind, taking that time for you will help tremendously with then how you can offer some bit of, you know, resolution or guidance for the people around you. And there's a difference between trying to, you know, say guiding them, offering them suggestions, and doing it for them, because a lot of that internal work that you're doing, that's the stuff they have to learn how to do too. And they have to make their own decisions, and they have to be able to figure out ways to heal and to cope and to take care of themselves. So all the things that you're trying to do, they will also learn how to find the right fit for them. Instead of you trying to hold space for them all the time and then trying to fix things, or just, you know, that very giving nature. Now, to get into the numbers, as of this year, as of your birthday, you entered a number one personal year. Mm. So it makes sense that this past year or two or three have been a little challenging. When you go, when you're trying to close out the last, you know, the last bit of a 9-year cycle, everything in numerology goes 1 through 9, and you're now in a number one year. That meant that the last year, especially, was a 9-year, which was about endings. So the last couple of years, or say since, you know, your 7-year, you were having to make a lot of adjustments. And in that 7-year, say 3 years ago, you were trying to kind of take care of everybody like you normally do. And there was a real strong pull to take care of yourself, and you probably felt guilty for doing it. So there's a little bit of a bit of being torn between feeling like you have to do your duty and do right by your family, but also what about you? So you're kind of playing catch up for the last few years. And granted, with all of the things you've listed, you know, loss and all that, certainly that takes a toll. So more than anything, being able to take care of yourself, you know, mentally, easing your mind, taking steps, you know, exploring this way of just getting grounded, even if it's just for like 5 minutes, knowing that you can create that for yourself, that environment, no matter where you are, is going to be very, very influential and crucial for your own well-being, and then as a result, the well-being of your family as everything adjusts. But just realize, you know, these are patterns that we have to recognize, and you've recognized it. And they're also patterns that once you recognize them, you have to figure out, you know, how do I flow into this so that I can change it? And that just takes time. And it just takes time, a lot of patience, a lot of love for yourself, because you may not notice in big ways right away, but in the little things, there will be a shift. And just give yourself that space to do this. In a number one year, there are a lot of new opportunities and new ideas. And in the number one year, you're also looking at, you know, redefining yourself in light of all that you've done in the past 9 years, especially to grow. now is the time to, and you've probably been wanting to do this, is just to find any bit of relief. And sometimes when we can redefine ourselves, there is relief in that, because you realize, you start recognizing things within yourself that you've just kind of overlooked because you've been on automatic pilot, or you've just been trying to tread water, you know, keep your head above water. And this is now like, everything's in your face, like, oh, but that's not who I am now. This is who I am now. These are these realizations that that make that number one year, like a personal year, a breakthrough. And it's well-timed. You're due for that. And so this is a great way for, as Liz says, using that word, you know, exploration and exploring. Exploring what opportunities are there for you. And without a doubt, there's overlap, because in the 9 year of letting go, this past year, from your birthday last year to this year, you are you're having to kind of tidy things up and get things, you know, get things a little more streamlined. And some of it you may want to do, and some of it you may be a little resistant to do, because you're so used to having certain things around. There's a comfort and a security that feels good, but can also, after a while, start to feel like you're stuck. And you realize, oh, this is very familiar, maybe too familiar. and so this one energy for the whole year, so it's not a race, but you know, there's a whole time period for you until your next birthday, to explore and to allow for things to excite you again, things to things that get you motivated and that that draw you to want to know more, and overall, hopefully, to have fun. I mean, there's a lot of relief when you have fun. You don't even think of it as relief; you're just having fun. But it's a lot different from what you were feeling before. And it doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It can be, in fact, it usually is. It's usually smaller things. As an example, to get, slightly a little more personal for me, say in the past month, there have been, you know, just invitations. Now I'm in a 9 year. I just started my 9 year.
Right.
I'm at the point where, you know, Polly was like last year, where, you know, stuff is definitely not just like, oh, it's shifting. Like, no, there's major transformations happening, and either you're on board for the ride, or you don't even realize you're being taken for a ride, but you're still on board. You're going to do it. So for me, what I found is when I am invited to do things, I'm saying yes. And I'm not going through my checklist. Like, well, do I have time? Do I feel like it? Is this really what I want to do? Is it familiar to me? Can I afford it? All those different things. And I have always been just had such a good time. I've been in a better mood afterwards. I feel more enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been a joy to do that, and to not have that burden of saying, I'm trying to, you know, go through my mental checklist and, you know, do I feel ready for it? And just saying, I'm just going to go. And a lot of, I think I've actually surprised some of my friends who've known me for a long time when they kind of, you know, they talk to me, hey, do you want to do this? And without hesitation, just said yes. I'm like, oh, are you sure? Like, they'll pause.
Yeah, they know you.
Yeah. Because they know I'm so deliberate, let me take, you know, a century to weigh some of these things and decide. I'll let you know.
Century.
I'm a Taurus. I get it. You know. But now it's something that I've just taken advantage of and said yes to when it's an invitation, and obviously there's some things where I want to say yes to and I can't. I know that it's just time wise it's not going to happen because I've said yes to something else. So that's fine. But the way to for me to kind of get through the 9 year, which is part of my process of saying yes and to get out of my head and to just enjoy and to be present. So those have been really fun things for me, and for someone like me, tends to be fairly serious, and you know, I run my own business, so there's a lot that I'm trying to take care of every day, and you know, like my work is like my little baby, so I've got to, you know, make sure it's taken care of. You know, to be able to, even little things, not just like some of the things I'm talking about are concerts where I didn't have to pay for that concert. Also, like these are like, no, I had a free ticket. I couldn't, you know, or I got a ticket. My friend gave me a ticket. They can't use it. They want someone to be able to use it. Okay, I'll go. Or so maybe not big events like that, or, you know, to me, big events, because I don't usually go out to, you know, a bunch of concerts. But if you've been just taking a walk, I've been meeting up once a week with one of my friends. We go walking in a park. Not anywhere near my house, so I have to drive, but it's worth it because the park is so beautiful. And even if I usually get there a little bit earlier, and it's just me, and I get to walk, I do a little circuit, I walk around, and I enjoy everything, the plants, all the different animals. I'm taking pictures, and I'm breathing great air. And it's usually, even yesterday, it was a little overcast, but it was a little cooler too. And I feel so energized from just, you know, that however long we take, you know, and then we get a bite to eat afterwards, and then I'm back and I'm doing my stuff. But I am able to work through. I'm not like, oh, let me take a nap this afternoon. I feel really good. And so these are just little things, little decisions I've made to decide I'm going to go and do something for me. And that helps me with how I work with everybody else. So I would say, now that you're poly, you're in this 1 year, understandable, you know, I'm not going to say don't shirk your responsibilities, because you're going to take care of, you know, the people you want to take care of. But take care of yourself first. If anything, the number 1 year, remind yourself, who's number one? You have to be number one, because energy is there anyway. May as well make yourself number one.
Hello.
And do the things, like explore those things you listed. You're already in it. You already know what is what some of the options are for you. You already know. I know I need to calm your mind. Yes, or not even calm it. It's interesting. It's not even calm your mind. It's just, you know, you start to prioritize. I feel like when we are in our heads, we have to prioritize. And after a while, you realize, wow, there's just a lot of stuff in there that I'm taking on. It's not even my stuff. So let me take a breath. For me, sometimes it's like, let me just step outside and let me put myself first. And then everything else becomes crystal clear. For me, I ended up, because I do it more and more, I'm trusting that. And being able to let go of things and mostly working through and being able to let go of what other people may think. Like, well, that's their business. You know, my business is me. So this has been a very good period of time. And this is me talking in a 9 years. So knowing that this is a cycle that kind of goes, it's not going to repeat itself. The energies will be there always. How you work with it, though, is really a lifelong thing, you know, to understand. Uh-huh. And it's based on where you are at the moment. So hopefully this will help. And this is partly why trying to do numbers for, you know, a lot of other people is really difficult for the show. That is definitely
I think that's,
you know, a private session. So,
yeah, I think that was, 2 for 2. That was some nice bookends. So hopefully that is helpful and a good start to unpack some of this confusion. And if you want to dig deeper with the birth dates of your family and all of that, then send us an email to loablend@gmail.com, and I will pass it on to Alisa, and you can schedule a private reading should you wish. So very good. So we took care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's wonderful.
Yeah. Whew.
So this coming Thursday, I told you this off the air, this coming Thursday, I thought I was going to be able to do the show, and I actually took a look at my schedule, and unfortunately, I won't be able to do the show on Thursday.
Okay.
But I hope I can do it on Tuesday, a week from today, I'll let you know. But this Thursday, the kids and I are visiting friends in Wisconsin, of all places.
Yeah.
And I would have never gotten to Wisconsin had I not had my documentary in a film festival that I was talked into applying to. And I was such a brat. So the subject of my documentary's mother is from this beautiful little city in Wisconsin called Beloit. And it's, I think it's on the Illinois border. So a lot of people from Chicago will go out to the rural part of Wisconsin for their summer homes or vacation getaways or what have you. And it's really, really pretty there. And this adorable little city started this film festival, I don't know, not too many years ago, a few years ago, but it's an international film festival, and the intention was to support this community of people who love film and also to attract global tourism to this town. So it really
Perfect.
Has accomplished both. I met people from all over the world. They took such great care of us, the people who hosted us in Beloit, and we actually formed some bonds with a couple of the locals there that we've been in touch ever since. I think we were there, I want to say, it was really cold. I want to say February. It was really,
yeah.
really, really cold. And seeing it, you know, under ice in sub-zero weather, being inside most of the time, being in part of a very cultural experience, showing our film. It was the first time my youngest son saw it, and I'll remember for the rest of my life that after the screening, he whispered in my ear, "Mommy, I'm so proud of you." Like that, I could die now. Thank you. Yeah, I could die now. I could die now. Thank you. So I really appreciate that. So we stayed in touch, and they really became taken with my son Jeremiah, who was 13 at the time, and you know, going through his ups and downs, because what teenager doesn't? And they were talking about, oh, it'd be so great, you can come back in the summer, we could go fishing, we could do this, we could do that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, sure, I ain't going back. Okay, fine. Not has nothing to do with them, but how am I going to logistically go back? You know, mommy's busy hustling and going crazy. So a few weeks ago, my son said to me, "You know, I really wish I could go fishing with those guys." I said, "You know, let me see what I can do." So in the Rubik's Cube of life, trying to line everything up, I said, "Oh, it's kind of pushing it, but we're gonna do this." And then I asked my older son. He's like, "Yeah, I'll go." I'm like, "Okay, all right." And I always had this fantasy of taking my kids like out of the country to go to Colombia and all of that. And my older son Cole was very smart. He said, "You know what? Let's wait until Jeremiah is at least 16. Give him a couple years before we do that." I said, "You know what, you're right. I'm going to go by myself when I can, go back to the motherland. I'm going to go back by myself. But in the meantime, we can do this as a vacation." I don't believe the three of us have gone alone together on an official vacation as this household family unit since the divorce. And the divorce is only a year and change, so I believe this would be our first one. And like the advice and the guidance we were giving Polly, everything's a reset, and letting go and moving forward and not overthinking things. And a foundation had to get built, meaning they were both away for several weeks respectively. One was studying, one was in camp, and with the help of your wonderful cousin, my dear, dear friend, founder of Universal Energy Media, Anna, the apartment is a work in progress, but with her help, the energy is completely shifting constantly, and I'm always cultivating that and working on it. So that was the foundation, and it wasn't easy, and it was things have to fall apart before they can come together, and that happens with relationships, that happens with the physical space, that happens with your body, that happens with everything. And now it's kind of like an experiment, and the way everything lined up, from reaching out to our contacts over there, now I got a message. They're like, oh, yes, we'd love it, whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Take the kids out of the hood. Take mommy out of the hood. Let's go. I get a message. Oh, do you think the kids would like to go skydiving on Friday, a week from tomorrow? I said, they're going to lose their minds. They've always wanted to go. So it turns out one of our hosts used to be a skydive instructor and has jumped over 2,000 times.
Wow.
Help establish a skydive site, jumping site, very good friends with the owners, and I'm doing research, and I'm like, well, one son is 20, the other, even though he's 6 foot, he's 14. He's like, I already vouched for him. It's fine. I'm like, okay, it's good to know people. As long as you're over 70 pounds and a sound mind, we just can't, post all over social media or say where we were, whatever. And listen, with filming my documentary, I broke so many laws. I'm like, okay, fine. So you know which laws that you can break, which laws not to. I'm very proud of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, and this is a sport. I guess it's a sport. Or this is an activity. For the brave and for the affluent,
right?
So he sends me a link. He goes, yeah, just make a reservation, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, thank God they got a student. I'm like, bring your IDs, kids, because we got to work this out. So I'm all about a coupon, $20 off. It's an activity for the affluent. And I just took a leap of faith. I will work it out. They are worth it. And when I'm gone, they'll remember, like, oh, my God, Mom made that happen. Because they're not going to go skydiving again, you know. This is it. I mean, they can go on their own.
Right.
But this is a hookup. This is like once in a lifetime. This is a hookup. I said, okay, let me put a deposit down, and we'll figure out the rest when I get there. Right. And again, it ties into this call, that leap of faith. So they're losing their minds. They're all excited. They're talking to us about, you know, seeing the stars and having cowboy coffee, which is the coffee that they, I'm like, ah, being in the middle of every, you know, nature, everything, glamping, which is like, you know, a slightly upscale camping. So I think we'll be outside in tents, but the tents will have, like, cots inside.
No, they'll be really nice. They'll be nice.
It's going to be nice. No, I ain't worried about it. It's like, give me a cheese plate and a cocktail, I'm good. So, so then the next day, and talk about how life works. I'm sure I told you this, but I want to talk about it on the air. So I get a message from the kid's father about a notice from the IRS from the last time taxes were filed, not for 2018, but for 2017, which was the last time that I was part of taxes filed by somebody else and still legally married to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I've filed taxes on my own since I'm in my 20s, which is 100 years ago, was just this past April.
Right.
Single head of household, whatever you want to call it. So I wasn't going to split hairs. I was going to take full ownership, and I knew exactly what it was for. When I decided I was going to assume responsibility for everything in terms of the household,
mm-hmm.
because I got the apartment. I'm like, okay. I didn't even question it. I said, send me a picture of the notice. So $1,900 later, and I said, please leave the notice in the mailbox, because he still has access to the mailbox, which is fine. And I look at it, and it says, this is not a bill. This is what we see, what this is going to be, and you have until September 18th before any more interest accrues. Well, I ain't going to think about it until I come back, so I come back September 3rd. So it's on my desk. You know what I'm saying? It's on my desk.
Right.
I'm not going to give them anything because it's not a bill. It's a heads up. Thank you for the heads up, IRS.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, it's a heads up. Okay. Conserve. It's a heads up. And we're going to pack our bags and we're going to go for 5 days.
Nice.
So we leave very early Thursday, which is why I can't do the show, and we return Tuesday afternoon, and I should have no problem doing the show unless we're going to be in transit. So I'll let you know, but I fully intend to do the show from Wisconsin. I have to mute myself because the maintenance people are at the door. I'll be back in like less than 1 minute. I'll be right back.
Okay.
So you take
it. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm excited about anybody who gets to travel and to do something out of their element. Now Liz lives in New York City, so anytime she can get by any bit of a plant, that's a good thing. So to be out in nature, and this is for somebody who lives in Atlanta where there's quite a bit of green space, but there's also a lot of traffic. So we're in our cars a lot. We're not out walking. For me to just take that stroll in the park once a week, which I'm now looking at trying to do more than once a week, but at, you know, on a park closer to me, some green space that I weirdly enough have to drive to. I'm going to be exploring closer to home so I can do some walks, daily actually if I can, because I'm really enjoying that time being outside. And the thing about this park that I go to is because of the way it's set, I take pictures of the same trees. It's the same kind of feeling I get when I go to the different wineries and the vineyards in the North Georgia Mountains as part of my job. I mean, there are certain properties and certain spots on those properties that are just, to me, you know, so beautiful and somehow magical, because I always take a picture of that particular scene. And this is, I've been doing the driving for like 10 years now. So I can name off some wineries and be like, yep, I usually step over here and I take a picture because I'm just in awe. And it's the same view pretty much. The difference would be obviously the sunlight, the way sunlight hits, or if there is any sunlight, but also clouds in the sky. I take notice of all of these things. And so to be, and I think I've driven through Wisconsin at least a couple of times, and that part of the country, really, you know, you can find something nice in any part of the United States. I feel like I've been to most parts of it, most regions of it. But to be that much in nature, to where, you know, you have the space to skydive and you can go fishing and you can enjoy all the different features, the water features, than just being around, you know, you're going to be around different types of animals and birds. It's amazing to me how much I notice every time I go on my walks with my friend, who tends to notice the dead things. We made a mention of this yesterday because she noticed, I think it was a locust. Or a cicada, something that was either dying or dead. And I didn't notice it until she stopped walking and I looked at it. And I took a picture of it. I'll have to post it at some point. I have all these photos I want to post later on Instagram, and it'll go onto Facebook. but it looked, the angle I had, it looked like an angel, but it was upside down. If you turn it right side up, you see that it actually is an insect. So, but the shape of it just looked, it looks like an angel. She's like, oh, interesting. So we get to see different things, even though we're looking at the same thing. And that's been a real joy. So, you know, where she'll usually find like insects that are, you know, dying or whatever. I'll find, yesterday we found caterpillars, or I'll notice like the live, the live animals that are, you know, in flight or making noises. And that's just a bit of my day that I don't normally get to do. So I want to do more of that. And I don't really get to do it, like, you know, even walking in my backyard is not quite the same. I feel like I need to be really in a majority of it, just being like a park, or just being in nature, not necessarily enclosed by a fence or just the limitations of the backyard.
Girl.
So that's what's been – oh, what's going
okay.
on?
No, okay. No, I'm sort of popping back in. Okay. Sorry. A little maintenance in the apartment.
Yeah,
a little maintenance.
Good.
Anyway, thank you for jumping in like that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that's what we do. Anyway.
Well, I was just talking about how excited I am for you to be out in nature.
Oh, thank you.
Because it just does wonders. I mean, I've seen it with you just sitting in my backyard. And to know that like Jeremiah has had time out in New Hampshire. And so he's, it's such an adjustment, a good one, a necessary one.
Absolutely.
And so all of those things, I think it's going to be wonderful, a wonderful weekend for you guys. And I was just talking about how when I go on these walks, these once a week walks, I look so forward to it that now I'm looking at where else can I go closer, just so, you know, for my own peace of mind, I don't want to wait just, you know, that one day. But I want to go exploring some other places that are a little closer to me that I can just get to whenever I want to. But it's been, it's
always make
nice.
It accessible. It's perfect.
Yeah. It's always nice to meet up with my friend because it's a different part of town. But that park, I know why she likes going to that park because it's not even right around the corner from her. It's around the corner from where her daughter used to go to school. And our daughter is like middle school now, so she goes to a different school, but she still loves going to this park. It's a little closer to her, but not like, well, she has to drive a bit too. So it's worth it. And I get it now. And we always make plans, you know, right after we finish our walk, we look at, you know, our schedules for the next week. And I'm like, you know, I normally we've been going on Mondays. So I'm like, I think I'll just go on Labor Day. I don't think she's going to be able to make it. We were going to go on Tuesday, so it's on the calendar. I'm like, maybe I'll go on Labor Day too for me because I really love this place. So if you see me posting pictures, which I will be at some point, of my little nature walks, it's at the same park. So.
I love that. So talk about Labor Day. Okay, so like I'm getting messages like, what would you guys like to do? Whatever. I'm like, we're in America. So I said anything that would be completely what we're not used to, if it's a county fair, whatever, I don't know. I don't know, whatever. Barbie, I don't care. So there's one of our friends there, Randy, he said, well, at the county fair they have the cow patty toss contest. And I said, stop playing with me. He goes, no, I'll send you the link. I said, no. Stop playing with me. Stop it. Stop it. No, because they like to mess with the city girl. Like when he said about, well, yeah, we'll just put up what he talked about when we sleep outside, yeah, we'll just put out a tarp and a pillow and then you'll be fine. I'm like, excuse me. And I was just silent. He goes, and I'm like, don't play with me. I don't need no critters. I'm making friends. Don't play with me. So I don't know if they're messy with me or not. Apparently, this is a thing. apparently, so I don't know if they're fossilized. I don't know, sanitized. I don't want to know. And it's how far can you throw the cow patty? That's disgusting. I don't need to see that.
Yeah, but is Jeremiah going to do it? Come on.
Wait. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it. So.
Well, you kind of have to see it. If they do it, you got to, you know.
Well, I saw the
it.
Video, and I was like, ooh.
Oh, you saw the video. All right. Well,
I
then,
saw the video. I could live without it. I could live without it. I mean, I wouldn't mind, you know, sort of being in the middle of Americana, but and I'm not 100% sure, but I believe Wisconsin is a fairly liberal state. I could be wrong, but I kind of heard that. Anyway, the people that the locals that we met when we were there in the winter were so kind and so free, and with my crazy, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I'm really looking for. I'm glad. Yeah, and it's like our first call, or the first email, really taking that leap of faith of like, well, no, I'm not gonna let that illusion knock me down. And I don't think I'm being irresponsible if I'm putting my children first. Call me crazy.
Right. Right.
And experiences are the best gift to give anybody.
I agree.
You know?
You know I agree.
Right? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, but I'll be on the ground watching them jump out of planes with a cocktail and a cheese plate. I always say cheese plate because it's Wisconsin, and their cheese is ridiculous.
Well,
so you know.
Well, you
I'm
got,
gonna,
yeah, you got to have the cheese.
Got to have the cheese. Got to have the cheese. Yeah. They're already going to take me to a place where they can ship the cheese back to my house. Yeah. The cheese. Yeah. Yeah. I brought back so much cheese on the plane. I'm not going to do that this time. Yeah. I mean, so much cheese. It was ridiculous. I brought back so much cheese. So good. So, you know, while in Rome, eat some cheese.
Yeah, you kind of have to. Cheese
kind of have to.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Well, that'll be a good trip.
It's going to be great.
A really good trip.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, and I would have never gone. Why would we end up there? Like, it's just crazy. Oh, but going back to the film festival, so I was such a brat when I heard about this film festival because our subject of the documentary, her mother is from that city. And she goes, you know, there's
right.
a film festival there. And I said, you guys, I was such a bitch. I said, you guys could go. I'm not going. What am I going to Wisconsin for? For what? What? You better. I'm not paying to submit for that because you have to pay to submit to film festivals unless you get an invitation or a waiver code. I said, you better get me a code because I'm not submitting nothing. I was so rude. I'm like, I'm not going. Obnoxious New Yorker that I am. So they got me a waiver code. I'm like, okay, why not? And I'm like, you guys go. I'm like, well, maybe I should. And then they were so sweet because they covered part of the hotel, which they never do. But they really wanted to encourage the filmmakers to be there.
Oh.
And I think we were there. My younger son and I were there for not quite, almost a week. Yeah, maybe about a week, which was amazing. Yeah. And it was a great, wonderful trip, and I'm so glad I went. So, see, you can't just assume. It was a good lesson. You just can't assume. Just because it's something that was unexpected doesn't mean you have to say yes to everything either. But my knee-jerk reaction was like, hell no, I'm not doing this. And I'm going back, you know, less than 6 months later, which is insane.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's great. No, it's going to be really, really, really good. So I'm very happy about that. And I think it's a wonderful energetic reset for my household, which is so important. Mm-hmm. My older son has always talked about how we never get along when we go on vacations. Well, we've never done it this way yet. It was just the three of us. And he's absolutely right. We never did. He's absolutely right. So I'm going to really keep that in mind. And why go on a vacation, spend all that time, energy, and money if you're not going to get along? So they would always kind of backfire. I'm hoping that this is the pattern interrupt. Oh, and that's the thing, too, that if Polly is still listening, but worth saying regardless, that when you, if something's constant, it's getting your attention, constant worry, anxiety, whatever. So the way to look at it is, okay, how can I do the, how can I interrupt the pattern? So you interrupt the pattern, you're taking your walks, you are not in your head so much, you're saying yes when you want to say yes, you're saying no when you want to say no, you're not overthinking things, you're not doubting yourself, it's the same thing. You're not questioning, it's just, and at the end of the day, what's the worst that can happen? So
right.
What?
Right.
It's not
right.
That deep. So what? And all we really have, and I think this is why everything is so heightened and so insane, at the end of the day, all we really have is ourselves and each other. That's really it. That's why our relationships are so important. And invest in the ones that are worth investing in and walk away from the ones that just drain you. If you're not being seen energetically as who you truly are, who you are potentially evolving into, right? There's nothing more tragic than unfulfilled potential. Then what's the point?
Right. Right.
Right. So there you go.
Good things.
Right. Yeah, all about the pattern interrupt. And you, I think you've done quite a bit of that. I know I certainly have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm catching myself. And I'm actually, you know, I'm realizing things with these walks, and also trying to do a little bit more of the meditations. I've downloaded a few things. And what I'm finding is, like, gosh, by the end of the night, it's all I can do to put the headphones in. I'm out. Like, I'm
that's
really
good.
Out.
That's good. See, that's a pattern interrupt. That's good.
Yeah.
Because you did what you needed to
do.
And it's a very kind of fulfilling sense of relaxation. Because your body was involved.
Right.
Yeah. No, it makes a difference.
Yeah. So even today, I'm like, where? Because I have things, I've got some things to take care of today. And I'm meeting some friends tonight. You know, got invited to come over, have dinner. I'm like, yes, I can do that.
Absolutely.
It's like, we need to hang out. I'm like, okay, yes, I can do that. So, and I'm also, you know, have this big trip planned for the end of the year.
Right.
And I talked to my parents, and my dad's like, oh yeah, we have all these, we have to get all these visas to get into some of the countries. So we have to fill out all this paperwork for like three different countries that need visas from us. And so it's just a lot. And there's a service that will handle, will help, you know, for a not so small fee. Handle all the paperwork, but you have still to do all the paperwork, a lot of paperwork, and then an additional paperwork, and then they'll take all that paperwork, and then they'll go through the paperwork, and that's what you pay them for. So
it's like my divorce. That's exactly what I did. I had a service that took care of all of that, but it's the same thing. You still have to do everything by yourself. You still have to whatever. But it streamlines the process. There's no way. You'd have to be a paralegal.
Right. So. You know, that word, paralegal.
Yes.
I feel like I had a dream.
Stop it.
Last night. Where not that I was a paralegal, but
no.
But that I was, wow, I was making a point. And in my head, I was like, I probably should have been a lawyer.
You know what? It's so funny. You say that, and I say, I should have been a therapist. We'd be like on the Isle of Capri, sipping limoncello spritzes. Instead of doing this Ricky Jink show, I'm kidding. Isn't that fun? Yeah, you could have been this environmental, women's rights, something, LGBTQ something attorney. And I could have been like this, you know, therapist for whoever. Unbelievable. I look at, I always feel like everybody has this other career that they could have done magnificently. So I think you could have been a great attorney, and I think I could have been a great therapist, like psychotherapist or whatever, like legit.
Yeah. Ooh, that word paralegal. But wait a minute. I had a dream, and I knew it had to do with Anna and Stephanie. I know it had to do with them.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And that dynamic. Yeah, there was something going on there. That which there always is something, you know, kind of weird.
Girl,
like,
I mean, that's just part of the package.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some kind of...
Yeah, go ahead.
Deception, some kind of deception happening.
Really?
But both of them were like, oh, we don't know what's going on. Necessarily.
Well, that would be accurate. They both don't know what's going on. Actually, that's an accurate, very accurate assessment, because it's all perception.
Right.
So what you perceive, that's going to be true for you. So they both don't know what's going on. I think that is on the money, to be honest. And I would have to say, just for my experience with a situation of, I don't even co-parent, I parallel parent, that I hate to say it, but the fact of the matter is, the only key for reconciling that and having a healthy relationship with your kids is when her children are older, to have absolutely no contact, and to let the kids, when the kids are old enough to navigate. Yeah.
Oh, she's got her maintenance.
I'll be right
person.
Back. I'll be right
or,
back.
Go ahead. Go ahead. So anyway, it's interesting what happens when you, for me, when I've just been, like I said, kind of interrupting my own patterns and going outside and really just being outside. Like, oh, I have a lot of errands to run, but I will look for ways to just be able to walk around outside. I prefer
sorry.
It not to be in a parking lot, but that's what I'm hoping to do, is just to continue being out and about and enjoying the space and enjoying whatever comes my way, which has always been really beautiful things. So, anyway. Good.
I'm back. Yes. So, Anna will be happy to know that I finally got the tub. She was here when that became a problem.
the tub.
The tub got snaked.
Oh. Oh.
That's what happened. Anyway. Anna's like, you should. I'm like, I know. I took care of it. 2 months later. No, I took care of it. Anyway, it's fine. Oh, taking care of business. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God.
This will be the
last
time we chat with you on the air.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Before you head out. So.
Yeah, well, I will definitely pictures on Instagram and text you guys and all of that. And I definitely look forward to hearing the show on Thursday night, where I will most likely be somewhere under the stars. That's crazy.
Oh,
there's no cougars,
so nice.
No bears. No cougars, no bears. You know, the only cougar I want to meet, hello, anyway, is me. Is the one I'm looking at in the mirror. No, I am far from a cougar. Anyway. Don't be telling me about no mountain lion. Nope. Don't you? Nope. Oh, yeah. I am just talk about a fish out of water. Forget about it. But, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway. So, that's exciting. And, and the fact that you have a trip coming up, it's around the corner.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
and
is.
My goodness. Well, the conversation certainly to be continued. And it's always great that we cover for each other. And thank God for Anna. So this show is, to me, is just something that I, for one, prefer not to do it on my own. I won't do it on my own. So I'm just so grateful, that it's a collaborative experience. Well, what a fun show. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Especially if you want a great reading from Alisa or from myself, hello, we're really good. loablend@gmail.com. We are. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This particular show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And it's coming Thursday. My bad. Thursday. And as always, love yourself fiercely. Let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you too, everybody. Take care. Have a good trip, Liz.
Thank you. I will. Love you. I'll be in touch. Bye.
Bye.